News 24 journalist Kyle Cowan covered some really important issues in the article he wrote on this issue today. And so we've invited him in to give us a bit more detail. Kyle, good afternoon to you, and lovely to have you on the program.
Thank you for having me.
So, Kyle, many wondering whether the court appearance of Angela Agrizi and the others yesterday was directly linked to the testimony he gave on the stand at the Zondo Commission of Inquiry into state capture. Was it?
Not at all. There's not a single link between that testimony and the arrests. What we have to remember is that this is the culmination of a probe, an investigation that started by the SIU in 2007 that was wrapped up by 2009. And that SIU report was handed over to the NPA and the Hawks in 2010 already. So what we're seeing now is literally in the last 3 months, a new prosecutor has been appointed, Advocate Peter Serunye, and he is now taking action on this case, which we should have seen action on in at least 2013, 2014.
All right. So it's interesting. He hasn't been in the position for very long, but he's acted quite quickly.
Yes, I mean, and this has been the concern all along, is that the SIU found very, very solid evidence of the improper relationship between Bosasa, certain officials at Bosasa, and then, you know, the Correctional Services Commissioner, Linda Mtee, and former Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Patrick Gillingham. Now, they've both appeared in court as well. They've also been charged. So, essentially, my editor-in-chief, Adrian Basson, has been following the story for more than a decade now. Mm-hmm. And 12 years ago, he wrote about the fact that there was this improper relationship and bribes were paid. And we've sort of been waiting for that action ever since then. We've sort of been sort of on tenterhooks, you know, being wondering what's happening, what's going on. And the only thing that we can explain now is, thanks to the testimony of Angela Agrizi, is that the reason that there hasn't been any action on this case is because more bribes were paid, allegedly, to NPA prosecutors.
Right. The question also arises as to why individuals like Gavin Watson and Ministers Nombulo Mokonyane and Gwede Mantashe have not been charged alongside these seven suspects.
It's a natural question. You know, we sat through 2 weeks of this absolutely explosive testimony, and now we're seeing the very whistleblower being charged. But we have to just remember and take a step back and say to ourselves, remember that Angelo Agrizi was one of the people who was supposed to have been charged many, many years ago. So why are we not seeing Gavin Watson? Why are we not seeing Nombulo Mokonyane? The SIU report didn't delve into those issues that Angela told us about at the State Capture Commission. It only looked at those four tenders and that relationship between Correctional Services and Bosasa between 2004 and 2006. So we need to understand that there has to be a process behind this. One cannot go from hearing testimony to arresting people the next day. Unfortunately, the legal system just doesn't work like that anywhere in the world. There has to be some level of investigation. We have to corroborate Mr. Agrizi's claims, because a lot of the stuff is amazing. It's fantastic. It's like, I can't believe any of it. So what the investigators have to do, they have to go through that process and say, okay, you claim that Bosasa paid for a car hire for Nombulo Mokonyane's daughter, and this amounts to undue gratification. So let's first go and speak to the car hire people, get the records, see who paid the money and who used the car over that time period, track cell phone numbers, all that sort of thing. It's a long process, and we have to be patient. We have to understand that Gavin Watson's day is coming. It is coming, but it's just not on this particular case right now.
But I take it Angela Agrizi's testimony at the Zondo Commission will be important for the kind of case that Peter Serunye wants to build this into, Kyle?
Definitely, Jan. You know, if you think about it, people are asking, one of the biggest questions as well is, why now? Why a week after the Bosasa whistleblower sort of evidence wraps up at the State Capture Commission? But strategically, as a prosecutor, if you're sitting back watching this unfold, you are given a keen insight into what these witnesses can offer you in terms of testimony against other people who should be charged for these same offenses. So essentially, you are seeing how it could play out. You're getting an insight that very few prosecutors get until they actually sit down at a table with the witness.
Yes.
And what I wrote on News 24, and it's speculation at this stage, but it's well-informed and well-educated speculation after speaking to many, many people involved, is that this is possibly the first step towards getting Mr. Agrizi, Mr. Fantonder, Mr. Forster to testify against the people the SIU report could find no evidence on, against the people that the Hawks haven't been able to find solid evidence on yet. And we've seen this before. We know famously the testimony of Mr. Glenn Agliotti, who was a 204 witness, a state's witness, but he had to be charged first. You have to be charged first so that process can start unfolding.
Is it possible that individuals like Agrizi and Andres Fantonder will be offered a deal, perhaps a reduced sentence or something like that?
Yeah, so in situations like this, prosecutors have two options. You know, if you have someone who's willing to spill all the beans, as Mr. Agritzi and Fantonda and Forster are, clearly are, because they've appeared before the Fair Capture Commission, there are two options. You can offer them a Section 204, which is essentially a state's witness, and then the judge will have to decide, based on their testimony, whether or not to grant them immunity from the crimes that they testified about. Because remember, they are implicated in all of this. They were part and parcel of Bisasa's corruption. The second option is a Section 105A, which is a reduced sentence. It's what we see in programs as TV, as the American prosecutors refer to as a plea bargain or a plea deal. So essentially what happens is you get offered a reduced sentence in exchange for your testimony. But there's an underlying issue here is that your testimony has to be believable, has to be provable, and has to stand up in court.
So informative talking to you, Kyle. Thank you so much for your time this evening. Kyle Cowan is a journalist at News 24.